720 WGN, let's bring in our guy, Big O, Orion Samuelson. Orion, thank you for taking time, Big O.
Well, thank you for the invitation to give me the opportunity to talk about the role of the agriculture food industry, because there's a lot going on.
Orion, it's great to talk to you. Thank you for jumping on. Well, tell us what we need to know. How are farmers dealing with this right now?
Well, they're doing what they do every day. We do not have a shortage of food. We have plenty of food because farmers do that every day. You know, we talk about workers working from home. Well, farmers do it every day because that's where their job is. So the challenge that they're having, there are two of them. First of all, the labor at the processing side of the food industry to process the meat and the grain and everything else that gets turned into the food that we buy in the supermarket or grocery store. And secondly, the transportation industry, because trucking is vital. When we're harvesting lettuce in the valley of Arizona and California, which we're doing right now. That's where it originates at this time of the year when we can't grow it here in the Midwest. So we need workers to harvest that lettuce when it's ready, because it won't stay ready very long before it starts spoiling. So their challenge really is the processing plant and the trucking industry to get it delivered. But again, I say, if you see empty shelves at supermarkets, it's not because there isn't a supply of food. It's there, but we have to get it. And if people would slow down on the hoarding, then it would help a little bit too, because people, I guess, at this time with this situation are buying more than they can use, more than they can need. By the way, guys, the one thing that really has me puzzled, did we not use toilet paper before coronavirus?
It's incredible to see, Orion. People are hoarding and stocking up on toilet paper, and I just don't understand it.
I don't understand it either. It just makes no sense. A lot of our industry that produces the toilet paper, based up in the Fox Valley of Wisconsin, from Appleton to Green Bay. It's really a major production center for paper products and everything else that comes from trees, whether it's writing paper or toilet paper. That's where it originates, and we've got it. But man, why people are buying it in the supermarket, I still don't understand.
You mentioned, Orion, the labor component of it all. And Carmen and I have been talking tonight on the show. Look, there's a lot of people out of work right now, Orion. A lot of people,
yes,
that worked in the restaurant industries and all aspects of life. But this might be a stretch, but if somebody is looking for work or labor, or is there anything maybe in that field or the world of agriculture people could turn to if they were looking for something? Because we've opened up the phone lines and texts if anybody does have job offerings or anything like that.
Well, the thing is, a lot of American workers, and younger ones particularly, don't want to do the hard work it takes to produce food, to process it, to harvest it in the field, and then to load it on trucks to get it to the supermarkets and the grocery stores. A lot of people, American workers, don't want to do that job. But the jobs are out there. They're vital. Some of them are seasonal. For example, a lot of workers come across the border in California and Arizona from Mexico to work in the produce fields of California and Arizona and the Southwest. And the problem there is that a lot of the work they do is seasonal. And so they aren't needed by the farmer operators for the entire year. Unlike the dairy industry. The dairy industry, you have to milk cows every day. And like livestock, you have to feed cattle. You have to feed hogs. You have to feed chickens. And you have to do that every day. So that's year round. And our labor laws that we have currently are more favorable to bringing seasonal workers in than they are to year-round workers. And we, I think, now are working with the Labor Department on getting some relaxation of some of the hiring rules for the migrant workers who come to do the jobs that a lot of people in America won't do. Because if you're a high schooler, for example, a job at McDonald's is probably easier than out picking lettuce and harvesting strawberries and that that sort of thing. So, but there is an ample supply of food, and the fact that in the declarations that the White House has been making over the past 2 to 3 weeks, they have recognized that agriculture, the food and agriculture industry, is a critical infrastructure industry, and so it can operate under normal rules that maybe other industries can't because of this declaration, because it allows farmers to do what they do best, which is to feed us, you and me, at a time of acute need and anxiety about that supply.
Yeah.
So it's there.
Yeah, Big O, if it stays the way it is right now and the restaurants are basically doing just pickup and delivery and everyone's going to the grocery store, when do you think we'll get to some level of normalcy where you go to the grocery store and for the most part the food that you're looking for is on the shelves? I get it that the food's there, but I guess it's something we're figuring out right now.
Yes, and we will continue to work on it, but again, we don't have to hoard it because we have the food and we have most of what they sell in the grocery stores available here in the Midwest. So I keep saying you don't need 15 rolls of toilet paper. You don't need to buy a month's worth of hamburgers or that type of food that you serve on the dinner table. And it would, I think, help a great deal. But again, the thing that is so different for the agricultural community than the manufacturing community or the retail community is you have to be able to harvest the product and move the product as quickly as possible from the field to the supermarket. And we have done so much with harvesting equipment, trucking equipment. It's out there on the farms and ranches of the United States. But at times like this, it really isn't built to handle the volume that they're handling in a relatively short time. Price-wise, it's been interesting because I report both Wall Street and the agriculture livestock community, the futures markets at the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange, and the equity markets at Wall Street. And the agricultural futures markets have not taken the roller coaster ride that the stock market has. The movements on a daily basis haven't been anything like that. And for the farmer, that's good because that gives him some sense of idea of the income that he's going to have, because in about 3 weeks, we're going to see planters rolling in the fields here in the Midwest. When we finally get the dry weather and the soil warm enough to plant, we are going to be planting millions of acres of corn and soybeans and wheat and everything else we need to make food and to feed you and me. And, of course, the thing I like to say about farmers today that has changed considerably since you were talking about gigs you've had, I've only had two, farming and broadcasting. But when you take a look at what they are able to do in getting the product out and available, it just makes no sense to hoard. But prices have been a little better, I think, than farmers anticipated because of the concern. And then, of course, the international trade. We're no longer a national agriculture. We are an international agriculture with our products going to South America and to Asia and to Europe, and many of their products coming back to us. So we're truly international, and that's the big change from the time that I was working my first job, milking cows and farming on a dairy farm in Wisconsin.
What year?
Pardon?
What year was that?
Let me see. In the 1940s. That'll give you an idea of how long I've been around. But back in the 1940s, I was going to grade school, but getting up in the morning at 5 o'clock to milk cows before I could walk the mile to the country school, and before I leave, I'd have to help my dad do what had to be done. That's one of the reasons I got into agricultural broadcasting. I found out at a fairly early age that talking about farming is a lot easier than doing it. So I've been lucky enough to make that my living. Well, I'll mark my 60th year at WGN on the air in September. So I'm grateful for that change and the opportunity to make it.
Can you remember anything like COVID-19, like the pandemic we're in? Does it compare to any time in history to you?
Not to me, because as I, in my Samuelson Says commentary this weekend, we were planning to go to Arizona last week, and I said, sure, we can go, but my wife, Gloria, said, no, we shouldn't go, and as usual, she's smarter than I am, and she won that argument, so we're continuing to be here, but opportunity that I have to see so many different facets of agriculture here at home and in the United States, because I've had the opportunity to travel to 44 countries, including 10 trips to China since 1976. And I can understand why it's difficult to realize the speed that a disease like COVID-19 can spread. I just reflect back on my first trip to China when most of the agriculture there was collective farms. But since then, there have been an increase in the number of backyard chicken flocks and backyard pig herds and that sort of thing. I don't know how you keep track of a disease when it gets started and can contain it, because I remember my first visit, they took us to a hospital in farm country in China, and they took us into the operating room on the tour, and I walked into the operating room, the windows were open, the wind was blowing, dust was blowing into the operating room, but that's the way they were practicing medicine at that time. So I can understand why it's difficult when it gets started in a country like China, how it can spread so quickly and be undetected as long as it is.
Big O, thanks so much for taking time. We appreciate it. Thanks for the knowledge, okay?
Thank you for listening. And when you say your prayers tonight, thank God for the farmers and the ranchers we have, because they do a magnificent job.
And, Orion, I believe you have a birthday coming up, so here's a very early happy birthday to you, Orion.
Well, thank you. On the 31st of the month, I missed April Fool's Day by 2 hours. I arrived at the farm in Wisconsin at 10 minutes to midnight in a blinding snowstorm, and I survived, so I'm still here.
You're the best, Orion. You're a legend. Thank you so much for your time.
Happy birthday, Big O.
Thank you very much.
All right, quick timeout, 720 WGN.